Why write further? The disappearance of Lord Krishna is not much told in Bhagavatam, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is nothing at all about the parting of Gauranga, although the parting of Haridas is there. Prabhupada told us the Vaishnavas do not like to hear it, but in the biography of Prabhupada I told up to the end because devotees insisted, and I also saw the many lessons he imparted while leaving the world, including what we all must learn. He taught us how to die, and more. He saved until the end final lasting lessons, drawing out deepest love from his anxious disciples. Therefore, to at least outline these teachings, I write further. The month of May, 1977. If it were to take place, he wanted to be in Vrindavan, seeing Krishna Balaram. But he also said that no one dies and there is nothing to lament. In his room, black stone floor, high dark ceiling, an Indian-style air cooler, tall windows with curtains, but he mostly kept it dark. To Vrindavan he had come for shelter, and he lay on his bed. He said to his secretary, "Of two directions, struggling to live or preparing for death, I think I have to be ready for the end." At least he wanted to finish all duties, including a final will, and so he called his GBC from all over the world to gather in Vrindavan. It was sweet to be with him. No matter what he did, it couldn't be called death. Feeble, I could not approach him across the distance of the awesome relationship. Others were bolder in love, and I did not envy them, but was humbled by what I saw. How Tamal Krishna could reach across the distance and caress Prabhupada's hand. Or Bhavananda saying, "It is sad for us, Prabhupada, but at the same time joyful that you will leave this nasty material world and rejoin Krishna." And Kirtanananda's innocent prayer, "Could Prabhupada consider exchanging his old age for our youth?" To which Prabhupada replied, "No, your body is also mine, so work with your youth." We all took turns by his bedside chanting or reading aloud from the Bhagavatam. He wanted the real medicine, to always hear kirtan. This was in May, when Vrindavan was intensely hot. He appeared to me like Ranti Deva, the ascetic who fasted for months, then gave up his breakfast food to the demigods dressed as dogs. Prabhupada's fasting was his own pure desire and the will of Krishna. His sharp, handsome profile was exactly like before. His face was wisdom and transcendence. No, he did not slip an inch or falter in the least, and his men were always with him. But don't think this won't happen to you. Sometimes he was silent for hours, hearing the chanting or resting, but once he woke to say, "Don't leave me." Certainly the wolves would attack in the future. For that he was most concerned. He secured his properties in the names of his spiritual sons and his ISKCON movement. Otherwise he was peaceful, depending on Krishna and telling us. He liked our company and would be glad to stay and preach. But it was up to him. His health seemed slightly better. "But no," he said, "materially speaking, the symptoms are hopeless." "Of course, whatever Krishna desires." Maybe we should have stayed with him and simply chanted day and night. But with his permission, we returned to our work zones, and Vrindavan returned to its quiet routine, his daily dictation, his taking massage, as if it would always continue that way. In June. It remained very hot. Usually he would hear the temple bells, blowing of conch shells, the singing of Govindam, and the timely Artik kirtans, all from his bed. The day passed that way, alone or with a small group of bedside chanters. But in June he slightly improved, and in the morning Prabhupada asked to be carried on a rocking chair palanquin to go see the deities. He cried tears of ecstasy as he beheld Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, and Radha Shyama. Then, at his request, they moved his rocker to the courtyard under the shade of the tamal tree, directly facing Krishna Balaram. And there devotees gathered to sing and dance Hare Krishna Kirtan. The Gurukul boys, two or four at a time, stood before him, arms raised, and vigorously danced, Harinam chatters flying, and their innocence charming guests who also gathered from Vrindavan for this daily darshan of Kirtan with Prabhupada in front of Krishna Balaram. He also sat in his private garden and spoke with one or two, while the fountain gently splashed and chipmunks ran across the 10-foot boundary wall. If a monkey would come, he was chased away. Sparrows and parrots all day flew freely in and out of the flowery, vine-covered yard. When Prabhupada chose to speak, his words flowed from his whole life and from all the shastras like the soothing fountain. He mentioned early days in Calcutta, Vedic ceremonies for pregnancy observed by his mother, and he gave sharp criticism of modern-day abortion. They are two-legged animals. He recalled his horoscope and how Krishna's plan had unfolded. Krishna said, "You were retired in Vrindavan, and I asked you to leave. Now you have come back, but I will give you a better place." So he has given me a temple 100 times better than any other place. Honorable, celebrated, subduer of evil forces, unretiring conqueror, directing the battle from Vrindavan, he made it clear how his work must be carried on by those who vowed to follow. "I am thinking of so many things, but my life is ending, so keep these ideas." To Swarupa Damodar, his scientist disciple, Prabhupada spoke for hours at a time. They should defeat the atheists who foolishly claim life comes from matter. He also heard with pleasure letters from Gyanashyama, how the people in East Europe were hungry for the Bhaktivedanta books. On his palanquin he rode to inspect the new Gurukula, where he chided and pushed them. "Bring at least 250 students. What kind of managers are you?" Prabhupada confided he had prayed to Krishna to allow him enthusiasm up until the very end. A soldier should die fighting on the battlefield. This was in June, when it was very hot and the Jamuna was shallow. In July, the rains came, and it was a good time for writing. On the roofless part of the second floor, sometimes he would be dictating when a downpour came. His men would rush him out of the rain to continue indoors. He could hold the dictaphone microphone only with difficulty now, and the sound of his speech was faint. But the purport came out as strong as ever, describing the 10th canto. When Krishna gave to the monkeys from Mother Yashoda's stock of yogurt, the neighbor ladies complained, "Your child is stealing at our houses, sometimes pinching our children." And one time he showed his mother all the universes in his mouth, although she could not clearly ascertain the cause. Prabhupada wrote within the spiritual world, conveying to all reality beyond the wall of matter, through unalloyed love of Krishna, as known by Mother Yashoda. As the sacred Ganges was carried down through the heavenly planets by thousands of flying messengers, So Prabhupada carried the Leela of Goloka into this world through thousands of printed books, entering through the station of his Ramanreti house. An old man could not have done it. From undisturbed Goloka, he was brought down to the violent world of Maya when he heard the news, an attack on his temple in Mayapur. 300 Muslims had overrun the premises, breaking the hands of a Gurukul teacher, cutting Nitai Chand's head in three places, breaking lights and wires, storming toward the temple room when Bhavananda Goswami fired a shotgun. He was arrested, and with other devotees was now in jail. The newspapers were playing it up that a Hare Krishna person had fired a gun, and they mentioned Prabhupada, who had not been present at the time. Prabhupada's response was as certain as Krishna's killing of Kamsa. His men would soon turn out the victors, but he also lamented, "The Gunda, hoodlum class of men, don't like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Haridas Thakur's refusal to enjoy a beautiful woman at the dead of night, the whole modern world will fail to understand. They will say, "What is wrong with illicit sex? What is wrong with intoxication? What is wrong with slaughtering cows?" They mentioned I wasn't present, or they would have arrested me. These are the people we are preaching to. They say we are brainwashing. How difficult it is. But we have to push on. And he cried, thinking of his Mayapur men. Krishna would protect them, who were giving everything to serve him. The terrible event stayed on his mind, but in ensuing days the truth came out, and the people of Navadvip turned against the Gundas. Another attack, another storm weathered. Fair skies again for the Bengal preaching. But Prabhupada's health, although not yet at the end, improved not at all. Through the end of July, although his riding went well, through the month of rains, with more than half the year gone. August. With Prabhupada during Julan Yatra, when villagers danced in the courtyard of Krishna Balaram Temple, I was also there. The most shocking thing was his thinness. Several times he said my name. On a night watch, I got to rub his back, sitting on his bed under mosquito netting, while dawn revealed the temple domes. All my hopes were fulfilled just to serve him. I had heard the leaders say, "Prabhupada is staying in the world to draw out our love," but I was unable to be with them, except to do my duties in the Los Angeles office. But for a week in August, there were a few moments when I entered the caring, loving mood. Once he was silent, and we were chanting before him, my miserable, miserly heart finally burst forth, and I knew that he was my beloved preceptor, and I glimpsed his kindness, his action to save me. I saw myself as I used to be, as hopeless until he had come, and I recognized him now as the same saving person. In dialogue with his secretary over a number of days, Prabhupada decided that he should go west again. For psychological enthusiasm, because staying in Vrindavan was slow death. "Prabhupada, if you go west," urged Tamal Krishna, "just seeing the devotees will give you new life." But there was an astrological warning that he should not travel until September had passed, and also his U.S. green card had expired. But when the papers came through, he clapped his hands, applauding the chance. "No more discussion. I will go at once." The night before going, his health relapsed, and the trip became uncertain. But he was peaceful on his roof. And that was another farewell for me, as he recalled my name. "You brought mangoes and fruit." Reminiscing to the days at 26 Second Avenue, while frankincense poured from a clay pot in Vrindavan, and we each massaged his legs. He didn't seem well enough to travel. But it was happening. In the middle of the night, he was carried to the car laid down on a mattress in the back and driven slowly to New Delhi. In the airport waiting room, sitting on a wheelchair, he silently acknowledged his faithful disciples. No need to speak, I thought. You have given me more than enough, yet I always demand like a child. His nod was sufficient in the last minutes before his parting for London. Like Rantideva in thinness, but unmistakably Prabhupada, he was carried to the London plane with later plans for New York and the Pennsylvania farm. Better to die in battle was his theme, and the hope was that he wouldn't leave. He also gave us a prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, if you desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. I said it often as the Maha Mantra, usually not out loud, but uttered deep within, imploring, and yet, as expertly worded by him, it was no demand on Krishna, but just letting him know we dearly loved Prabhupada and needed him to stay, if Krishna desires. And if he does not, in any case, we prayed as he had allowed us. Last journey to London. It was a shock for devotees to see Prabhupada in London, extremely thin, in a wheelchair, and wearing dark glasses. But when they gathered in his Bhaktivedanta Manor room, he and they felt at home. Is everything all right? Every morning, with the slightest movement of a finger or hand, he sent 100 dancers leaping and singing. And more privately, behind the dark glasses, his tears ran as he looked upon Radha Gokulananda. He met with his European leaders and made no criticisms, all pure gratitude. And many times throughout the day, emotions of ecstasy ran unchecked. Even at the mention of America, his voice choked up. I cannot forget my obligation to them. I want to make them happy, and through them, the whole world. But he had toured far enough west. To come as far as London was itself an incredible feat for a person with almost no body for living in. But to go further to New York was not the desire of Krishna. Prabhupada was pulled back by another crisis in health, and now Bombay loomed in his vision as the next possible chance that he should live long enough to install the deities and open his grandest temple there. Last visit to Bombay. In Bombay, the few disciples with him served with spiritual love, helping him sit, helping him wash, and at his request, giving encouragement. Only by their prayers and desires was he living, he said. He was not eating, and his body, which he had strained in constant hard travel and in constant acceptance of disciples' karma, which even a doctor had diagnosed as suffering from too much anxiety over disciples and movement, could not go on that way. He could not stay 5 risky, noisy weeks waiting in Bombay for a possible temple opening, but called his men together for a decision. Vrindavan was best, they all agreed, but with one objection expressed by Tamal Krishna. In Bombay there is more to live for, the temple opening date, but to go to Vrindavan may mean going there to die. Prabhupada said that was only sentiment. Of course he willed to live, but he was waiting to see what Krishna wanted to do with him, whether to stay or go. And for that decision of Krishna, the best place was Vrindavan. October. Let me leave. It was very pleasant weather, but all things pointed to the end. The GBC was called again. Expect the worst. They traveled in sadness, but always knew no soul dies, and especially Prabhupada will simply go to Krishna Loka. As to this world he had come, in eternal service to his Lord, so if he leaves the world, there is no question of death, but life of eternal knowledge and bliss, and the followers live with him. On arriving in Vrindavan, he had sung the song by King Kulashekhar, "Let me die now thinking of Krishna." But his men arrived, each carrying some glad tidings, the results of vigorous preaching, and they asked him not to leave but to live. Harikesh Swami produced new books, which pleased and moved the life and soul of Prabhupada. "Now you have to get healthy," Harikesh said. "Healthy?" said Prabhupada. "I have nothing to do with this body." "How do you say, get well, to someone who is beyond all disease, who says he wants to leave now to answer the wish of his beloved?" He gave last instructions to Brahmananda, "Jointly organize Africa, United Nations, under Lord Chaitanya's flag." And when Kirtanananda brought gold, sapphire, and rubies, Prabhupada joked, "Why don't you find out some bride?" And he gave back the gifts for use in building New Vrindavan. "It is you we want," asked Kirtanananda. "Please come to live in your palace." "Let us see," said Prabhupada, "which palace I am going to." Giriraj, Paramananda, Atreya, Lokanath, dozens more, all came and exchanged with him, and though sometimes tears ran, he never wavered. But he stopped calling doctors. "Better you don't pray to Krishna to save me. Let me go now, and you continue singing." He didn't want to eat or drink, but, "Let me drink just Harinam. For diet and medicine, let me depend on these." He wanted to hear what feast had been served to devotees in Vrindavan. Everyone liked, but for himself, he asked for only chanting. "Please stay, we need you." How he reversed, I have told at length in Prabhupada Lilamrita, but here in brief. He said, "I am not drinking." And when Upendra replied, "How can you not drink?" "That you discuss," said Prabhupada. He meant, "You can discuss whether I should survive." Everyone was resigned, 4 men at once massaging him, a dozen at a time in kirtan. If he spoke at all, they had to crowd around his bed, inches away to hear his voice. He heard Hari Sori crying, but said, "You go on chanting." But then he opened his eyes and said, "The choice is mine. Krishna has given me full freedom." That was a different mood, but at first no one replied. It took them all together, while he was resting, to come to the conclusion. "We should assert ourselves and ask Prabhupada to stay." When strongly they pleaded for his life, admitting, crying out, "Don't go, we need you," he agreed, with a yawn, in a casual sounding way, "All right." And he began to drink again and called for strawberries. "This is real affection," he said. It was a test, and they had passed it. He had brought them to extreme distress in love for him, and they wrung it out, imploring him to stay with them because their lives were in his hands. Now he agreed to stay for the Bombay opening and to visit the new Vrindavan palace. He was smiling, and they were laughing. "All right," he said, "but chanting should not be stopped. Things should go on naturally." But the long-term facts were different. Now, in a deeper love exchange, the disciples were insisting he had to stay. But in a gentle way, they began to see Prabhupada was willing, yet there was something more. While he had to teach them how to love him, and while he had to stay to lead them, yet sooner or later he would have to leave, thus teaching everyone how to leave. And to learn the further lesson, how to manage ISKCON on their own, he had to leave the movement in their hands. "Nothing fanatical," was one of his expressions. They should not expect him to stay always in the world. Last Leelas. Thinking that now of his free will, Prabhupada would slowly get better, most of the GBC left again, while in the pleasant Kartika weather, Prabhupada remained in Vrindavan, but his final lila came to one more month. He began again to translate in the company of devotees. Jai Advaita, holding the microphone, as weak-sounding but glorious devotional words came forth from his lips. His final 10th canto ecstasies, Krishna expanding into the missing boys and cows. In the very last days, hearing of the bullock cart preaching of Lokanath Swami, Prabhupada wanted to make his own parikram. At first he did it on palanquin around the temple, and then he said he would like to go on circumambulation of Vrindavan. For Govardhan Puj, they could take him to Govardhan Hill, and they could all camp together. It would be a good picnic. But the doctor said his body could never take it. Then, to die on parikram is glorious. Some of his disciples agreed whatever Prabhupada asked should be given, including a last bullock ride. But his servants protested. Again, the conflict of love. "You cannot go, Prabhupada," they cried in anxious grief. "All right," he said, "I will not go. You are making us crazy in love for you." "Yes, that is my duty." November 14, 1977. There was no last-minute change. In the center of a roomful of devotees, all singing the holy names, he went back to Godhead. Service in separation. Then there was grief all over the world for the devotees of Krishna. In Africa they cried. In America, one devotee walked out of the house and into the woods. Or they hung up the phone and they cried, wherever there were devotees. Yet the sincere soon noticed, "Somehow we are living still. Our purpose is still strong. Our duties have not lessened. And the need seems even greater to rescue the fallen souls. There is still someone to please. Srila Prabhupada is present." The day before he passed away, his disciples were Krishna conscious, and the day after he left, they were still Krishna conscious. But if their lives depended on him, how is it possible to live after he left? The answer came clear. This was service in separation. What before they had read in books as the mood of the gopis, they now found in themselves as an ever-present strength, as sure as the vital air, as sure as the rising sun, as sure as Krishna himself. Prabhupada was present in his order. Service in separation became union with him. The books all confirmed it, as even stronger than his physical presence, which had come and gone. By service in separation, his presence became an open love to whoever was sincere. Now, from the smaller to the greatest, all can enter his presence, whoever cares and serves. Srila Prabhupada is still in charge of the faithful heart. He is still flowing nectar to the river of his followers, and his movement won't collapse because parampara is guided by the Lord's own hand. Thank you.
Transcendental vibration by chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the sublime method for reviving our Krishna consciousness. As living spiritual soul, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities, but due to our association with matter, from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by material atmosphere. In this polluted concept of life, we are all trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we are becoming more and more entangled in our complexities. This illusion is called Maya, or hard struggle for existence, for winning over the stringent laws of material nature. This illusory struggle against the material nature can at once be stopped by revival of our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original energy of living entity. When we hear the transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived, and the process is recommended by authorities for this age. By practical experience also, we can perceive that by chanting this Maha Mantra, or the great chanting for deliverance, one can at once feel transcendental ecstasy from the spiritual stratum. When one is factually on the plane of spiritual understanding, surpassing the stages of sense, mind and intelligence, one is situated on transcendental plane. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is directly enacted from the spiritual platform, surpassing all lower status of consciousness, namely sensual, mental and intellectual. There is no need of understanding the language of the mantra, nor there is any need of mental speculation, nor any intellectual adjustment for chanting this Maha Mantra. It springs automatically from the spiritual platform, and as such, anyone can take part in this transcendental sound vibration without any previous qualification and dance in ecstasy. We have seen it practically. Even a child can take part in the chanting, or even a dog can take part in it. The chanting should be heard, however, from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord, so that immediate effect can be achieved. As far as possible, chanting from the lips of non-devotee should be avoided as much as milk touched by the lips of a serpent causes poisonous effect. The word Hara is the form of adoration, the energy of the Lord. Both Krishna and Rama are form of addressing directly the Lord, and they mean the highest pleasure, eternal. Hara is the supreme pleasure potency of the Lord. This potency, when addressed as Hare, helps us in reaching the supreme Lord. The material energy, called as Maya, is also one of the multi-potencies of the Lord, as much as we are also marginal potency of the Lord. The living entities are described as superior energy than matter. When the superior energy is in contact with the inferior energy, it becomes an incompatible situation. But when the supreme marginal potency is in contact with spiritual potency, Hara, it becomes the happy, normal condition of living entity. The three words, namely Hara, Krishna and Rama, are transcendental seeds of the Mahamantra, and the chanting is spiritual call for the Lord and his internal energy, Hara, for giving protection to the conditioned soul. The chanting is exactly like genuine cry by the child for mother. Mother Hara helps in achieving the grace of the Supreme Father Hari or Krishna, and the Lord reveals himself to such sincere devotee. No other means, therefore, of spiritual realization is as effective in this age as chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.